Today we're going to do the 121st Psalm. There are 15 mizmorim that are known as songs of ascent or shirei ma'alot. This is the only one that begins with the word shir lama'alot, with a lamed, and not shir hama'alot. And there is all kinds of speculation as to why. Some argue that this was originally the first one. So it was on their way to the Ma'alot, and then they continued once they got onto the Ma'alot. The Medrash tells us that there were 15 rises, like gigantic steps, as you went up to Har HaBayit. We are told that the Kohanim would be at the very top step, where they often declared the Birkat Kohanim, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, and so on. And as a result of that, to bolster that position, you will find that in Shirei HaMa'alot, we have a repetition of certain key words in Birkat Kohanim. We have the word Bracha, we have the word Yishmerecha, we have the word Yechunecha, and a lot of times the words Shalom as it ends, okay? And you will see a lot of that kind of repetition. In this particular mizmor that we're going to be learning today, the root shamo, shmirah, appears 6 times. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, some say that the word ma'alot refers to the steps that they went up to Har HaBayit. Others argued ma'alot is generally the word of aliyah, when they came up from wherever they came up from the shoreline, from Merkaz Haaretz, from Drom Haaretz, and they went up to Hare Yerushalayim, they went up to Yerushalayim. And to this day, in Ivrit, we say, Ani Ola Li Yerushalayim. No matter where you're coming from, you're going up to Yerushalayim. Hence, because, of course, geographically it is higher, but also because it is seen as a rise spiritually. So you still say that. So even if you're coming from Tzfat, in the mountains of Tzfat, you would say the words, Ani Ola Li Yerushalayim, today. Others argued, and we saw this with Al Naharot Bavel, that this was actually composed during the period of Shivat Zion, when they came back from Bavel. And therefore, it was the word Aliyah, not of going up from one place of Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, but coming from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael is called making Aliyah. And therefore, it's called Shirei HaMa'alot. These were songs for those that are ascending, coming up to Eretz Yisrael. In our particular case, there is nothing that kind of binds it that way. Others have argued yet that the word Shir HaMa'alot is a function of the structure of the poetics. For that reason, on your sheets, I wanted you to see something that in Hebrew is called a shir shur. Namely, that a word that you said on one line is then echoed on the other line. Esa einai ele harim me'ain yavo ezri. Pick up that word ezri. Ezri me'im Hashem ose shamayim va'aretz. Okay? And ditto. Al yiten lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. You mentioned the word al yanum, hine lo yanum. And that kind of binding together is a reason why this has been put to music by great musicians over the last century. Of course, the most popular one, of course, is Shlomo Karlbach's. It has been pointed out by others yet that there are several voices here. The first verse, Esa Einai Eleharim, is first person. I will lift up my eyes. In the second, in the third verse, you're suddenly moving from first person to second person, where somebody is talking to the person in the first section. You will also find that there are some lines that are not written in second or first person, but are in third person, as if one is quoting a statement. We're going to look at all of that together. When you do this kind of thing of the shir shur, you mentioned Ezri, you will find that what you're doing is you're one-upping it. Now, for that, I want to explain something to you about brachot generally. And certainly, in ancient times and in Middle Eastern cultures, and particularly in the Jewish culture. When somebody blesses you, you come back at them and you bless them back, but you one-up them and you go a bit further. This is particularly true in Yiddish. So if you tell somebody a guten tag and the person responds to you, he doesn't respond a guten tag. He will one-up it, a gut yol, a good year. Now, this actually has biblical sources. And the Shir HaMa'alot in that regard is a case of, I give you a blessing, and what you need to do is you need to come back. So not only do you say Shalom Aleichem, and the other person says Aleichem HaShalom, you see how you switch it around, you're doing that here, but if you're really good at this, you one-up it, and you say even more to you, okay? And that is the way we bless. If you say Good Shabbos, the response is not only Good Shabbos Good Yom. And you always add, you're adding on to it. And that concept is called HaMevarech Yitbarech. The blesser shall be blessed, and then some. And you add it up. Hence the Ma'alot. So every time I mention a word, the next one will go even a step further and expand. Our number one question, who is speaking here? What is the situation that we're talking here? Is this somebody coming Aliyah? Is this somebody coming up to Yerushalayim? Or not necessarily so? Is it something broader than that? I want to explain to you how this was understood by understanding how this was integrated into our liturgy. Both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, the Daven Nusach Sfard, say this mizmor after Shmoneh Esrei in the evenings, Ma'ariv, on weekdays. You will see that this is about Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael, which, by the way, we repeat in Kriyat Shema. I say it three times as we go to sleep. They also say it in Psukei Dezimra of Shachris of Shabbos. It is added there. There are some who not only say this at Kriyat Shema, but add this to Tfilat HaDerech. When you're on your way and you daven for a safe journey, you add this Mizmor Tehillim. There are many who add this when they do Kiddush Levana, which is, they say this because of the mention of the moon here. And many say it after Mincha, during the winters on Shabbos. This one, they say Bon Chimachshi, and then they go on with all Shir HaMa'alot after Mincha on Shabbos instead of Pirkei Avot, which they say in the summers. Radak argues that these are Ma'alot and is written about the Galut. Again, this notion somehow coming back and rising out of the Galut, the depths of the Galut coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And others have argued, yes, this is about Olei HaDerech, Olei HaRegel that come up to Yerushalayim, and they see the mountain. It is clearly written by an individual. Esa Enai El HaHarim, I look up to the mountains. And asking myself, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, from where, I know they usually say it, from whence, from where will come my help? Are the mountains the source of the help? Or are the mountains the challenge that I need to overcome and I need help to go over? Are the mountains a metaphor for people or obstacles? Some scholars have argued that looking up to the mountains is because in all pagan religions, the temples were put up on top of mountains, and therefore somehow the gods resided on Olympus, you understand? And so you were looking for help, and he's asking, from where will come my help? We're looking for help to come from the mountains, and the response is shaking oneself out of the pagan thinking, Ezri mi'im Hashem, ose shamayim va'aretz. My help doesn't come from those that are on top of the mountains. My help comes from Hashem, who actually made the heavens and the earth, not just the mountains, but made everything betwixt and between. You will see that throughout this mizmor, there are brackets. Shamayim va'aretz, yomam v'alayla. Me'ata ve'ad olam. From now till forever. There are two ends. If that's the case, then the second line is an answer, but even a rebuke of the first one. For somebody who looked to the mountains for help, where will my help come? And the answer then would become, my help comes from, and it's all, but is he speaking then to himself? Because it's all still in first person. But perhaps, in fact, that's not the case. He's looking up to the mountains because he is a traveler, as Elchanan Samet argues. And in ancient times, crossing over the Alps or crossing over the Pyrenees or the Rockies was not a simple thing. And as you traversed on foot through desert, through water, greatest barrier of all, and the dangerous barrier is the mountains. You didn't have tunnels, right, hewn through the rocks yet. You didn't have roads yet. You were climbing these mountains to get to your destination. And at that point, the mountains are not the source of help. The mountains are the challenge that I have to face. Esai nai eleharim, I lift my eyes to those mountains, and the question is, who is going to help me climb them? And if that's the case, it is not merely a barrier for the traveler. It is the challenges in life that one who travels through life has to go through. These are the mountains that I need to climb. From where will come my help? Who will help me? Now, he doesn't repeat the word help in the later part of this mizmor. It is only in the first two lines. Because at that point, it's no longer help. It is shomer. Why? Yaakov Bazak argues that we view God as this avinu shebashamayim, and we want, like children, for mommy and daddy to rescue me. But mommy and daddy are not around to rescue me anymore. When I face the big mountains of my life, suddenly I found, where will my help come? And the help means I want somebody to lift me up, carry me over this, get me out of this. Either I turn back, or somebody else to simply lift me over the challenges. And the answer is no, you've got to put one foot in front of the other. And if you do that, then Ezri Me'im Hashem, my help will come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, who made heaven and earth. And in the process of making heaven and earth, enabled me, within me, I have the capability of climbing this mountains. But to climb this mountains, what is the danger? You barely have a foothold as you're climbing. And down below is a deep fall, if you look. Hence the next line, Al yiten lamot raglecha. He will not let your foot stumble. Al yanum shomrecha. And the watchman will not
sleep.
He doesn't even take a little nap. Because the Malbim explains that a tnuma is a little nap, a dozing off. Whereas Yashen is actually a deep sleep. He doesn't not only sleep, he also doesn't... I know they say he shall neither sleep nor slumber. But what's the difference between slumber and sleep? But if you understand that it's not even a wink, he doesn't stop for a moment, then you have this watchman. And if that's the case, he's talking himself down from his terror. He's stuck in a place. He needs to walk forward. And do you notice how he suddenly moved to second person? And the truth of the matter is, we actually talk to ourselves. Talk yourself out of your terrors. You've gotten through other things. You'll get through this. Just take one step forward. And you talk to yourself this way. And that's how Yaakov Bazak explains the change from first person to second person. Elchanan Samet and others have argued that no, there is actually a mevarech v'hamit barech. There is a blesser and the one that's being blessed. And he envisions this as what people used to once upon a time do before somebody traveled. Before somebody went on a great journey, they used to family and all the clan And the mishpucha would show up to say goodbye. There was actually once upon a time a concept called Bon Voyage. But you'll see pictures where somebody went to America before they went on the ship. The whole mishpucha came along for the trip. And they're all waving their handkerchiefs. And it's, you know, it was the big send-off. And you didn't know if you would ever see these people again. So what happens here is this person is afraid. He's out to go on a journey. Esa enai el harim. And if that's the case, comes the medrash. And tells us, you know who the harim was? The harim is the horim. Mm. And there's a play on it. I lift my eyes to my teachers. Morim, the horim. I lift my eyes to my parents. They gave me what I need to get through life. Ah, but now I'm stuck with a real situation. No longer can they rescue me. And that's why Chazal say that this is a reference that when the schus of Avraham and the schus of Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Avos HaKadoshim will no longer bear us, I need to turn to whom? Directly. Me'ayin yavo ezri? I asked in the name of my fathers, in the name of my rebbes, ezri me'im Hashem. He's everlasting. They're gone. I can no longer look for them. But at the same time, why do I lift my eyes to the parents? Because they're the ones that taught me. And taught me what? Ezri me'im Hashem. That my real help will come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hu oseh shamayim va'aretz. So this is the traveler who is opening up and indicating his trepidation. And I rely on what I've been taught, that they will be the wind under my sails, they will be my help along the way. At which point the blesser pipes up. Not only will God help you, he will go a step further. Ali ten lamot raglecha. He won't let you even stumble. The word mot is actually a noun. He won't let your foot hit the mot. A mot is a bar or a stumbling block. He won't allow a stumbling block to block your pathways. And al yanum shomrecha. But if you look carefully, on Pasuk Gimel it says al. Whereas in Pasuk Dalel it says lo. Mos Chacham explains the difference between al and lo, as does the Malbim. Al is a beseeching, a request, a prayer. Whereas lo is a statement of a fact that cannot be changed. Hence, back and forth. This fellow tells us, Al yiten lamot raglecha. May the Ribbono Shel Olam not let any stumbling block block your way. He will not even take a nap. He won't sleep. To which the person who's just been blessed says, indeed, hine, achen. Not only will he not be, will he not sleep or let me fall, hine lo yanum, and goes a step further, velo yishan shomer Yisrael. But in expanding, he does something very curious. The expansion, I told you, right, I'm one-upping you. You said, good morgen, and I say, a guten tog. Right? You say a guten tog, I say a guten yor. You said your watcher, and I say, no, he doesn't just watch me, he watches all Israel. You said he does not rest, I say he neither rests nor sleeps. I one-up it. But in the one-upping it, conceptually, he's actually done something completely different. Granted, modestly, he says, God not only watches over me, he watches over all Am Yisrael. Lovely. But he doesn't necessarily believe that he is worthy for himself. He believes that God watches over Israel. But does God watch over little old me? Is there a particular personal hashgacha? And it seems that that he does not know. He's repeating lines that he's been taught, to which the blesser responds. And he tells him, Hashem shomrecha. Hashem is not just shomer Yisrael. Hashem shomrecha. God watches over you. And goes a step further. One's upset. Hashem tzilcha. God is your shadow. You can't shake it. Al yad yeminecha, on your right side. Why the right? The right represents the strength. In other words, God is at your right, meaning at bechol maaseh yadecha, since most people are righties, and this is the hand that they use for dexterity, in whatever it is that you would do. He stands there on your right side. Using the word yamin, similar to the same words, we have the word yomam. And when does he watch you? And how does he watch you? By day. So Hashemesh lo yakeka, how appropriate for the Israeli climate, so that the sun doesn't beat down on you. There was nothing worse for travelers than that beating sun. And a moment ago, he told him, God is your shade. It's not just your shadow, it's your shade. He actually is a shield between you and the sun. And adds, not only by day, ve'yareach balayla, and from the moon at night. What will the moon at night do to me? So Rashi and Chazal cite an ancient idea that namely there were certain diseases that were brought about either by the night or by moonlight. The notion of lunacy comes from the madness. Regardless of the science in the issue, the night, I've already explained to you, indicates when it seems that God is not with you. Did you notice that it doesn't say what the moon at night will do? But the moon at night will light your way. But in the same way that it lights your way, it also illuminates where you are for predators. So you need the moon to show you the way. But it's at night that major predators come out and are a danger to you. You will remember, and the Chazal, by the way, point this out, that this is reminiscent of Yaakov Avinu, who left home to go to Haran to find a wife. But of course, there was another reason why he was leaving. His brother threatened that he would
kill him,
so he's running for his life. And he comes to a place called Bet El, and he needs to sleep there during the night. And you remember that he put stones around himself, surely as a shelter against animals. And it's during that night that he has that dream, remember, of the ladder going up and down. And he begs God for protection. And Hashem promises him that he will not only give him the minimum, lechem lechol ubeged ilvosh, but he told him that he will watch over him wherever he goes. And even as he leaves Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be with him, no matter where he goes. So the moon, while it gives you light to illuminate the darkness of the night, it also points out where you are to your enemies. So the night represents a time in which you are completely vulnerable. And so the moon itself does not strike you, as Lo Yakeka said about the sun. Now, with the moon also comes the waxing and
waning,
in which the light guides your way in this darkness, sometimes is higher, sometimes is lower, and you're left exposed. That exposing to the night is not merely a danger to your physical well-being or to your mental well-being, but frankly a danger to the fact that you might lose your soul. And as a result comes the next line, Hashem yishmocha mikol ra. God will protect you from any evil, any kind of animal. That's what we say, by the way, in Tfilat HaDerech. May God protect you from chayot ra'ot v'kol minei poraniyot ha-mitrakshot la'olam. All kinds of dangers and calamities that occur in the world. All of them. So if you've said already all of them, what else is there to do? Why do I need to one-up it and say, Yishmor et nafshecha, he should guide your soul. So Radak says, he should prevent you from any evil, meaning any diseases, and watch your soul so that you don't die from those diseases. It's not a question only that you shouldn't get sick, but chas v'shalom, those sicknesses should not bring the end of your life. Treating the word nefesh as one's life. I would like to suggest that there's something else going on. He's saying instead, may God protect you from any evil in this world, but mortal that you are, in the process of protecting yourself, wherever it is you're going. Remember, this is the prayer and the blessing for a sojourner, somebody who's going to be traveling. It tells us, may God protect your soul. Don't lose who you are. And don't forget what you are in your travels. Wouldn't that be more appropriate? So now it's saying, not only don't I want you to stumble and fall physically or get hurt physically, I want to make sure that you don't get hurt both spiritually and emotionally. Yishmo et nafshecha. And then he adds, Hashem yishmo tzeitecha uvoecha. May God watch your going out. How appropriate for a traveler. And also coming back, hoping that you're going to come back home again. But then we have to one up it, remember? From now until forever, because I don't know if I'll ever see you again. Me'ata ve'ad olam. But I recall that Chevra Kadisha said this as they walked my father to his grave. Hashem yishmo tzeitecha uvoecha. It's you're going out of this world and you're coming into the next world